Greetings, everyone, all those who are here today, and I know that we have a few more people that will be showing up today yet. They're running late, but Leah and Sam and Jane and Anna are down south at a wedding, so we have, graciously, Joe came to help in the computer room, and we want to thank Joe for that. Thank you, Joe. And before we go any further, just probably pray and ask the Lord to be here with us. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, now. We thank you, Lord God, now, for your mercy, your grace, and your truth, O Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for you were able to make the bittersweet, Lord God. You were able to turn lives around. You were able to do all things right, good, and well, pleasing in your sight. We ask, O now, Lord, that you would be here with us tonight. That you would walk the aisles of every heart, and that your Spirit, Lord God, would be here with us. You would anoint the sermon, anoint the message, anoint the music, and anoint eyes and ears and hearts, Lord, that they could see, know, understand. I pray, O Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear. O Lord God, have mercy. Go before us. We thank you for the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Well, we Costas and Anna in the Netherlands wanted to send their love to everyone here and all those that are online. And so want to acknowledge Costas and Anna, who are also in need of our prayers. We also do have a prayer need of another lady called Diane, I believe. Is that right, Jenny? It's a lady that Jenny knows, I think. You're praying with her. And I think she has cancer, and they said that she has like 2 weeks to live. So we should probably pray for her also. I don't know if we should just pray now, or I guess we could, really. It wouldn't hurt. And if there's any other need out there that anybody has a need, please raise your hand. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for this Diane, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you were able to save. Your hand is not short, Lord God, that it cannot save, for you truly are mighty to save. You are the God that heals, Lord God, for those that will cry out to you in faith. We pray that you would cause us, Diane, Lord God, to reach out to you, to cry out in faith, Lord God, for healing. That you would do a work in her life, Lord God. I don't know that she's ready to face eternity. I pray now, Lord God, that you would get a hold of her as we all pray together in one agreement and one accord under the blood in Jesus' name, Lord God, now that you would do a work of healing, Lord God, if it please you, Lord Jesus, if it be your perfect will, Lord God, that you would heal this woman, Lord, of this cancer, this woman who they say has only 2 weeks to live, Lord God. But right now, Lord, by faith, we come together before you, Lord, we lift her up. And Lord, we ask that you would send your healing virtue upon her, Lord God. It's touching this thing called cancer. Lord God, that it would have no dominion or power over her life. Lord God, I pray that you would do a mighty work as we come together before thee, O Lord God, today, beseeching you on her behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, we're going to open our chorus books. I know it's good to be here. I know the Lord is here. And the Lord's doing a mighty work. And whether people have eyes of faith to see it, or to hear it, or to know it, I don't know. But for those that have eyes and ears to see, understand what the Lord is able to do and willing to do, then praise God. You're the one that He wants to do a work in. We all need help. And the Lord is looking for people that will cry out to Him in faith. But I know that it's really important now that we just give glory to the Lord and give Him all the praise and the honor. Amen. Let's just give Him the praise, the honor, and the glory. If we open the chorus books to 68, He's the Lord of Glory. Now, I haven't sung that in a while, so bear with me if I don't get it right away. Number 68, He's the Lord of Glory.
The glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of Glory. He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Well, there's another song I'm hoping we could go to in the hymn book. And it's on 294 in the hymn book. You could go there, follow along with us, or sing along with us would be even better. It's called Victory in Jesus. Okay.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory,
beneath His cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing. Made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath His cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And saying sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me and I knew Him, and my love is to Him. He pledged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Thank you, Lord God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Glory to His name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, amen, brother.
Thank you, Lord.
We could sing that one song called Count Your Blessings on number 43 in the hymn book. We could go there. And I know that, now believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, there are actually blessings in the midst of trouble. How many knew that? There are actually blessings that come from trouble. It's hard for a lot of people to understand that, wrap their brain around that. But you see, God has designed it that way. But you know, the Lord would want us to be grateful and thankful. And we are to count our blessings, because they are many. And I would ask that you would do so along with me today as we sing that song and sing that to the Lord. Count your blessings. And give thanks to Him. Let's go there. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are distressed, is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Wreath will fly. You will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to the journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Praise God in heaven. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Praise God. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to give God the glory. Amen. It's okay to raise your voice. I'm just kind of fighting some allergies here, so bear with me. The back of my back shoulder is kind of aching also. I was praying this morning, and I got up, and my back was real sore. Sometimes it's hard to breathe. It's just the devil trying to cause me to trip up here, and the thing is, I'm not going to. The Lord's going to give us strength to overcome. The Lord is our helper in time of need.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
That tree pollen so bad.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Yes. Praise you, Lord.
But the Lord is the God that healeth thee.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we sing that song?
number 39 in the chorus book called Have Faith in God. Have faith. Have faith to believe. Have faith to believe God for the things that you have need of in your life and to grow closer to Him. Cry out to God because now is the day. Not tomorrow and not next week, because none of us are promised tomorrow. Hey, none of us are promised our next breath.
Right.
Amen. I mean, people need to realize that our day could, our number could be called at any moment.
That's right.
We need to be ready. Truly, we need to be ready. Lord God, help us.
Have faith in God.
God is meant to pierce the very soul of every man and woman. And you know, people walk through life with guards and shields around them, afraid that if the Lord touches them, they're going to have to change.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to change. And change requires pruning. Because without pruning, you cannot grow. And it hurts. Because the sword cuts going in and it cuts coming out.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
But if we are ever to attain that place whereby we abide in the Lord, and then we are able to sit at His right hand, it's going to come with a cost. Nothing in life worth having is ever easy. Ever. I don't know about you and where you've been in your life, but I know where I've been. And I know the muck and all the garbage and the carnage and all the filth and all the rubbish and all the confusion that I had to climb out of. All the worldly things. Oh, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it to be doing that. The only thing that matters in life, the only thing that matters is to serve God.
Amen.
To know God and to get right with God.
That's right. Amen. Oh my.
If a person is not able to come to grips with that, they're going to continually miss the boat. The only thing that matters, if you can get it into your hearts, the only thing that's going to matter ever in your whole entire life is to make sure you put God first. If you don't do that, my friend, you're missing the boat completely. Let's sing that one song in closing the worship. Let go and let God have His way. Number 25 in the chorus book. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your nights turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Lord God, thank You, Lord. Well, we're going to take up the tithes and offerings. If I could have Doug be gracious enough to take that up for me. Thank you, brother. If anybody has a prayer request or a need, please feel free to raise your hand. If anybody has a need, a prayer need, a request of any kind. Otherwise, we'll give it all over to the Lord by faith and trust God for the outcome. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank You for what You're doing, Lord, now in the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Lord God, we know that these are the end days. What's it going to take for people? What's it going to take, Lord? Only You know, Heavenly Father. For You know that those that are Yours, You will work on their hearts. You will prune them. Lord God, we thank You now for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. Oh, Lord God, under the blood, by faith in Jesus' name, we pray that You would help us to continue to be good stewards, Lord God, of these monies. Do so for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank You. Thank You, Shirley. Appreciate it. Praise God. Okay. Praise God. Amen. Today's message is part 10, called Come Out From Among Them. Come Out From Among Them. Part 10. If you could follow along with me graciously, go to chapter 15. If you will. Chapter 15.
15 of what?
Exodus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know that God prizes the spontaneous expressions of worship and praise and honoring Him. Did you know that? God honors that. And it says here now in verse 1, chapter 15 of Exodus, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel, sing this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." You see, when we let God be our strength, he will also be our song. Because his strength will not let us down. Did you know that? Exodus chapter 15 talks greatly about many good things, and this is one of them. Let's go now to verse 2. "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Praise God in heaven. 2 Samuel, let's go there real quick, chapter 22. Chapter 22. And I just want to read there real quickly. There happens to be a portion of Scripture here that speaks of that. Because truly we cannot save ourselves. We must have a God, the one Lord, true Jesus Christ. He must become our salvation. Number 29, bear with me here. 2 Samuel chapter 22, is that right? Verse 29. Because there it goes on to say, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Is he doing that in your life today? Is your life full of darkness? Is your life full of ups and downs where you don't know at any moment if your foot will slip? "For by thee I have run through a troop." Did you see that now? By the Lord. By my God have I leaped over a wall. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Did you know that? We can do all things. Your vocabulary shouldn't have, "I can't do this" or "I can't do that" in your vocabulary. You should say, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." People live their lives making excuses, don't they? There's an excuse at every turn. The devil makes it real easy for people. I can promise you that. There's an excuse here. Every time you take a step, every breath you take, every thought you think can be influenced by the wrong person if you allow it. If you allow yourself to be thinking things that excuse you from serving God or from doing the right thing, you have to consider the source. Where is that coming from? Amen? "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." Did you see that? That's why he tries us. "The word of God is fine steel, tethered and tempered. And there's nothing stronger, there's nothing sharper than the two-edged sword of the word of God. As for God, his way is perfect. The word," did you see that? "The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." People trust in chariots. People trust in houses, their job, their money. All of it is vanity. All of it's going to hell in a handbasket. But when you forsake that trust and you don't put God first, when you forsake that trust in the Lord, you're missing the boat.
Amen.
Amen. It goes on to say here, for who is God save the Lord? And who is the rock save our God? Oh, that rock of offense for many that reject the Lord, that will crush them as powder, is crushed for those who reject the mercies of God. But it says here in 33, God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. You see, your way is not God's way. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Amen? His ways are higher than our ways. What you might think one thing, God is saying, wait a minute now. This is my perfect will for you. Wait a minute. This is something that you've got to go through to be perfected in this area of your life. Wait a minute. If you want to be perfected in the love of Christ, you're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. His ways are perfect. Passing all knowledge and all understanding from the human viewpoint. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Did you see that? And setteth me upon mine high places. He teaches us how to come up higher. Higher ground in holiness with Him. Higher ground to the point and to a place in our life where we put Him first. Where nothing else in life can even come close to mattering one whit. What's more important than following and serving God? Nothing. He wants us to come higher in Him. Now, if you're not coming up higher in the Lord, there again, you're missing the boat. The Lord requires that we get down to the nitty-gritty in our lives. That we begin to cut out the dross by God's help. And learn to yield our lives to His seasoned hand of pruning. Learn to yield your life to His control in your life. Allow Him to do that work in your life. Amen. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. In other words, there's nothing too hard for God when you go into the depths of prayer. When you do spiritual warfare with the Lord, and He's able to bring you up to that place where you have victory in Him.
Yeah.
Where we sing that song, Victory in Jesus. We have that victory when we walk with Him. When we have that victory when we abide in Him. We have that victory when we go to prayer and we don't leave until we feel His presence. That's when we have the victory. If you get up and you get up and you pray after maybe 2 minutes of prayer and, oh, time to go. Well, you just missed out on the blessing of your life. You just missed out on that blessing that God wanted to bless you with. There is that guy that was in Romania. He was oftentimes just starting out in his walk with the Lord. And one of the very first things that came to his mind and to his heart was the fact that he had to spend time with God to know Him. And he walked out one day and he felt the Lord prick his heart. Are you going to leave without me? Are you going to leave without me today? He went back in and he prayed. He prayed and he prayed. And he had all these things that he had to do. He had all these commitments. He had all these issues going on with his job. But yet, he didn't see the blessing until he spent time with God. He didn't see what the Lord wanted to do in his life until he first put God first. So when he finished praying and he felt the peace of God, some 3-4 hours later, he felt the presence of God. And he went to work and found out that everything had been taken care of. Everything was dealt with. In his work, his life, God took care of his every need. He was faithful to serve God, and he moved mountains for that man. And that's the point. He can move mountains for you too. Amen. If you will spend time with God in prayer. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. You see, that's the strength that God gives us, the hope that we have in His salvation. His salvation is time being pruned and spent with Him, the fact that we know Him. If you don't know God, then you're in trouble already. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. That's the way the Lord works. You have that consuming thing in your life, that sin, that thing that holds you back, that habit or whatever it is, drinking, smoking, whatever it is, you have something going on in your life that's not right before God. I'm telling you, God can turn that around, but you've got to pursue. Pursue God. Pursue His righteousness. He'll strengthen you. His strength is promised. Amen? Perhaps if we go to Isaiah real quick, and I can read that to you. Isaiah chapter 40. Here we go. Isaiah 28. And it goes on to say here, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? What? Are you kidding me? Wait a minute now. Look, we have the God of the universe, and you haven't heard of Him yet? You haven't heard of the great things that He has done and is willing to do in your life? Is it so easy for you to forget what the Lord can do in your life by spending time with Him? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is He weary. In other words, what He's trying to say is, look, God's not troubled by trouble. God isn't weary. So why should you be? Listen, if you're living a life that's pleasing to God, you don't have any troubles. If you're living a life that is pleasing before God, He's going to be your strength and your shield. He's going to keep you with His keeping power. The Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no searching in His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Now listen, this is what the promise is. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, did you see that? Are you waiting upon the Lord in the mornings, in the evenings, spending time with God? Are you spending that time until you feel God's presence in your life, where He can move mountains for you? Goes on to say, the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh my, what a promise that is. To all those that make the Lord God of heaven, shield and buckler. That place of almighty truth and grace and hope, faith. Now let's see. Let's go now to verse 3 back in Exodus chapter 15. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. You know, people forget to use the name of Jesus. People forget that God is the God of war, that He goes to war for you. He goes to battle for you when you get into that prayer with Him. Did you know that? It goes on to say in verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. See, God did what Israel could not do, destroying their enemies. God did what you and I can't do on our own. You leave your house in the morning, you neglect to spend that time in prayer before God, and you neglect those blessings. You see, you forfeit those blessings in your life. The depths have covered them. They sink into the bottom as a stone. Oh, praise God. Thy right hand, oh, the right hand. That's used over 50 times in Scripture. Talking about God's great might and skill. God's great power, His right hand. Goes on to say here, the right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. You see, if we really loved the Lord our God, we would hate God's enemies, especially in the area called sin in our life. He'll dash those enemies to pieces if you will put God first.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Did you know that that's the heritage of the Lord for those that love God? That He will turn the tide? Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heat, in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. Isn't that what the devil does? My lust shall be satisfied upon them. In other words, this is what we have to fight. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every day. Don't we? Isn't the enemy out there to destroy you through lust? Entertain you to death? Didn't you know that? God wants you to see that the devil has a plan. That plan is no good. But that plan is there to destroy your life. If the devil can entertain you to death, he's going to do it. If the devil can get you to get all these cares going all in your life, the cares of the world, uprooting the Word of God in your life, it won't grow deep. That's why you've got to let God be first in your life. It says here in verse 9, I will draw my... goes on to say, I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. And it goes on to say in verse 10, Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. I know that that talks about too now. They used to use these lead weights and anchors back in those days. And they use these lead weights as soundings to give you soundings to show you how close you were to land. How many fathoms. How deep was it before you knew how close you were getting to anchor, to put that lead anchor down. But it goes on to say here, Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises? Oh boy, doing wonders. You see, God requires holiness. God requires holiness in your life so that sin be dealt with. And when sin is dealt with, you can freely raise your hands to God in prayer and worship. You can freely raise your hand and raise your voice. You won't feel encumbered. You won't feel weighed down. You won't feel guilty. You won't feel all the flesh rising up around you and say, I can't do that. I'm going to be embarrassed. Uh-uh. No. Forget about it. That's not right. No, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end therein is death. Oh, and that is an onion ready to be peeled layer after layer on so many levels in people's lives. Thou stretchest out thy right hand. Oh, there we go again, that right hand of power. The earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast gilded them. Or guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You see, who can fathom and understand the mercy of God who knew beforehand all the mistakes you would make? Even after you've received the Lord into your life, He knew your frailties, your weaknesses, and yet He was willing to pay the price for you. He was willing to sit there and die on that cross for people such as us who can often be insolent and impudent, ungrateful and unthankful, unholy, wicked, forgetful. But there He was, waiting to turn the bitter into sweet. And we haven't gotten there yet. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. And I want to go to Joshua chapter 2, but not yet. I want to read verse 16 first. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Did you see that? He purchased you and me in spite of ourselves. Joshua chapter 2, if we could go there. Joshua 2. And I just want to go to start out in verse 9 to 13 there, roughly thereabouts. And she said unto the men, now this is, we're talking about Rahab the harlot. And it goes on to say, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. You remember what we just read over there and talking about the fear and the dread, their hearts melting. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Did you know that you can have that kind of power in your life? So that when you wake up in the morning, the devils will be in terror that you would dare to get on your knees and pray to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Did you know that you can cause devils to scatter and run? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Did you know that the Lord is able to give people and nations for you? Did you know that? And what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Did you see that now? Can you see how to apply that to your life? Are you willing to apply that to your life? Are you willing to see the need? Are you able to get there to that place and say, Lord, all strength is in your hands and you can do all things right, good, and well. Nothing is too hard for thee, Lord God. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, we have that hope that our families can be saved from sin, death, and hell. We have that hope that no matter who we pray for, that God is able to come to our rescue and to their rescue, save their souls alive. Amen? From the enemy. But you see, what we're talking about here is that we have that authority, that the devil would be crying out for mercy. That we could chase the devil. Say, get out of here, devil, you wicked, foul thing. You don't have a place to operate here. And you can pray. It's a prayer of warfare in your life and cause the enemy to scatter in your life. Cause those strongholds to come down in your life. Amen? All those things that have held you back all these years can come crashing down in one moment. Let's go now back to Exodus. Oh, Exodus. Chapter 17, and I'm probably going to want to go to one more verse too, another one. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. That reminds me of Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. Oh, I just want to read three verses there, maybe four. They're not long. Psalm 80, verse 6. But what does it say there? Oh, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. What is David referring to, or the psalmist here? No doubt they read the book of Exodus, Genesis. They read about how that Moses came down from that mountain, spending time with God, and that face gloriously shone with the glory of God. Make thy face shine upon it. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Who is that vine? Do you remember when Jesus, Joseph, and Mary fled to Egypt? That was as a type and shadow of what he wanted us to do. To flee. He came out of Egypt. He came back out of Egypt. But they went there for a time. It goes on to say here, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. That's what the Lord wants in our lives. Jesus should be that deep root in your heart. We should be in that place where we are ever being pruned and growing deeply in the Lord. Where the Lord becomes that deep root, so that nothing that happens in our life will be shaken. You will be shaken by things. Sin will throw you back and forth. Goes on to say here in verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with the horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Now, here we have a type and shadow of sin being tossed in the sea of forgetfulness. As the Egyptian army, also the enemy being tossed aside. We have the Egyptian army, which is a sign of our enemy, the devil and his minions. It's also sin in our life. And here the Lord covered up that sin.
Thank you, Lord.
By his ocean of everlasting love for you and me. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timber in her hand, And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Did you know that often the Lord will bring you into a dry place so that miracles can happen in your life? He will bring you to that place where you have to cry out to Him for help. Where there is no help but none other. There is no help nowhere else, but when you cry out to God for help, there it is that help. Oh, what does it say here? And when they came to Marah, oh boy. And when they came to Marah, do you have a Marah in your life? We all do, don't we? Oh, Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah. Are you looking at that? I want you to think about this. For they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Waters of bitterness. Did you know a bitter spirit will keep you from being a better person? But the waters of Marah can mean many things. It could be a death in your life, your family. The waters of Marah could be any bitter thing in your life that runneth over like a flood. You might be being attacked by temptation, ruin, financial ruin. You might be destitute of the truth. You might not have a real love for God. That can be bitter. But God can make it sweet. But let's go on to say here. Oh my, 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 my. Oh, there's a lot of truth in this. You see, well, let's see here in verse 24. Hold on, no, no, hold on now. The second part of verse 23, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. It was bitter. It was undrinkable. You see, before the Lord can use you, He's got to take the Marah out of your life. He not only wanted to deliver Israel out of Egypt, but listen, He wanted to take Egypt out of Israel, out of their hearts. Did you see that? And it goes on to say here in verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Oh boy. Did you know that the attitude of ingratitude is just a poison of bitterness? Did you know that? That's the bitter waters of Marah. The attitude of ingratitude. Did you know that when you come to a place in your life when you come to bitter waters, it's not a time to complain. It's a time to pray. It's a time to pray. It's not a time to complain. You got it all wrong. You're thinking wrong. You're feeling wrong. You're doing things wrong by doing that. Nothing cures ingratitude more quickly than a good memory. You remember the bitter waters of your life and how the bitter attitudes and how it made things worse. The bitter complaining, how it made things worse. Oh boy. That produces a pretty good memory, though. 25. And he cried unto them, Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. Oh, that tree of life. Who is that tree? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Hey, it's not what you know, it's who you know that counts. Amen? It's who you know that really counts. Who is that God? Who is that one that makes the bitter water sweet? Oh, but what does it say here? In verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do, now did you see that? And wilt do that which is right in his sight. Now, works without faith is completely dead. We are called to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen? God wants people to be doers of the word of God, not hearers only. Because then we miss the boat. We miss it completely. We clean miss the boat. It goes on to say here now, and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am, now listen, I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Oh, yes.
You see, obedience means that we have peace with God. Amen? Obedience means that we have peace with God. When we walk in complete obedience. And then you have the healing of God's wings. Like a shadow covering and protecting you when you walk in obedience to His Word. When you forget about all the excuses, forget about them. Because excuses are your enemy. Excuses are the maras in your life. They're going to create waters that will be undrinkable and bitter in the end. And they came to Elim. Oh, praise God. We all need that Elim in our life. Oh, that place of complete rest in the Holy Ghost. That place of rest and peace and joy. Here does it say here? And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. Oh, that living water. Oh, that living water of the Word of God and His Spirit. Living waters coming forth to wash and cleanse. To give you a water that you won't thirst again. And it says here what? And 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. But there were 12 wells of water. That means complete. A complete amount. An amount that is perfect and whole. Now, I'm hoping we can go now to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, you know, we all have a Mara in our life. So did Paul. Okay, Acts chapter 16. Oh, praise God. Here we have the last time that Paul had traveled to Lystra. They were trying to stone him to death. And there was a young man by the name of Timothy who was a new convert of Paul's. And Paul came down on a second journey and he wanted to see how Timotheus was doing. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman. You see, Timothy was a young and faithful servant of God. His father was not a believer, but his mother was a Jewish believer, which made him Jewish in their eyes. But he had to be circumcised, not for the reasons of legality, but for other reasons that Paul had in mind concerning their journey, that he would take them on him. And in fact, I think he would take Luke as well. So it goes on to say here, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek, in order for him to be recognized, not for the sake of being legalistic in any way, but Paul had his reasons given by God. The Lord was going to show him exactly what and the how and the wherefore and the why there of what to do, how to do what, when and where. And he felt it was great, it was needed to have this young man, Timothy, to be circumcised. But what that's really saying is that we are to be circumcised in our heart. The Lord wants us to be circumcised right here in our heart. And they went through the cities and they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now, wouldn't that be neat to have a people that was so excited for God that they couldn't stay away from church, that they want to come and be a part of what's going on? We could all, praise God together, and none slinking back in the shadows and hiding and ducking and trying to be invisible or forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as we ought not, as the Bible forbids. And how that the people would have a love of Christ in their heart to want to come and serve God and be a part of what the Lord is doing, strengthening the brethren, encouraging one another. Isn't that what we're called to do in the end days here? Amen. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen. And when they had gone throughout by Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now this is the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is now called Turkey, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now they were forbidden to go there. Why? Because the timing wasn't right. God has a timing in everyone's life to do things. And after they were to come to Maesa, they essayed, in other words, they assumed that they should go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. A second time. Now, it goes to show me, and it gives me great comfort to know that, hey, even Paul, as the man of God he was who had the mind of Christ, would think to go somewhere that would be a good thing to go or a good place to go. But even he had to be checked by the Holy Ghost and say, no, it's not time. We all need that check in our lives. And that requires knowing who the Lord is. And it goes on to say, and they passing into Maazah came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. Oh, there it is. There stood a man of Macedonia. You see, the Spirit of God guides as much by opening doors as by closing doors. Did you know that? And prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately. No, it wasn't in a year or two, or it was immediately. He endeavored to go to Macedonia. Goes on to say here. See, they are now moved. They're going, as at one point, they were going to go to the continent of Asia. Now they're going to go to the continent of Europe. And gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from the Troas, we came. Now, they were on a ship. That was their mode of travel. They were on a ship. And we know that Paul had been through many shipwrecks. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And it goes on to say here now, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. You see, the greatest help there is that the gospel be preached. Instead of winning cities, God was sending Paul to win a continent. You see. Instead of just winning a few, God was going to send him to win many. God wants greater things in our lives. He wants you and me to stand up and be counted for. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Oh, by the riverside. Where prayer was wont to be made. Now, do you see what's going on here? We mentioned from the very beginning the need for prayer. And here we have Paul. Finding anywhere he could find, but by a riverside he went. Him and Silas, Timothy, Luke would all go there and pray before God and seek his face until they felt his leading and guiding and presence. Did you see that? And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia. Now, Lydia was a woman that sold purple. It was highly valuable in those days. It was a highly sought after commodity in those days in that region. Goes on to say here, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. Did you see that? They worshipped God. They weren't afraid to worship God. They worshiped God. They weren't afraid to be seen in church raising their hands. They weren't afraid to be saying, oh, amen, brother, amen. Yeah. And it goes on to say, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, did you know that when you go into prayer, God can open doors? When you go into prayer, God opens doors no man can close. Here he opens the door of the heart of Lydia. heard whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when he was baptized, and when she was baptized, and her household, do you see the importance of baptism? Being first saved and then baptized. They go hand in hand. She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Oh, praise God for the open doors and open hearts that God is able to open in your life and in my life. Make the changes needed. The bitter water sweet. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Oh boy, here we go now. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought to her masters much gain by soothsaying. You see the devil. The devil thought that he was going to profit by this work that God was going to use Paul in. But Paul, having that discernment and understanding and seeing what this woman was doing, immediately, after about 3 days, got sick and tired of dealing with her and cast the devil out. And immediately that same hour, that devil came out.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes. That same hour, not 2 weeks later, that very hour. Oh, praise God. And it goes on to say here, which besought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, you could go a couple of different levels at soothsaying. Now, there are many people in churches who will do soothsaying. There are many divinations in churches on many different levels. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Oh, boy. Isn't that so kind of her to do such a thing? But no. That was a divinating spirit. What she was trying to do was so people take the attention off of what God was doing and put it on her and what they were doing for money gain. But you see, you can't buy the Spirit of God. You can't buy what the Lord is doing in your life. You've got to wait on God to call you and to send you and to do a work in you. And you've got to pay a price, not with money. Not with money, but with your life. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name... Now, it wasn't in the name of some other entity. It wasn't just, you know, will you just come out of that lady there, demon? Would you just come out of her? No. He had to use the name of Jesus. That was where the power was. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. You see, there is none other name under heaven by which a man must be saved than by the name of Jesus. Amen? We are saved, delivered, and healed by that name. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Oh, now listen. Paul was going to be entering into the Mara of his life. This was going to be a Mara of bitter waters being made sweet. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. You see, they didn't care about the slave girl they were using for that divination. All they cared about was the money. You see? You see how the devil uses people and throws them aside like they're nothing? That's how he does with people. Yeah. He'll use you until you can't be used anymore. And he'll kick you to the curb. Usually via death. Oh, and it goes on to say, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Well, these were nothing more or nothing less than occultic pimps, prostituting her spiritually for money gain. That's all they were. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. Wow. They rent their clothes. How holy are they? Oh, how religious. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, see, understand that if anyone escaped from prison, the jailer was responsible and would assume the same punishment that the prisoners would have gotten if they were to escape. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Now, this would have been the inner courthouse of the palace prison. Prison guard. And made their feet fast in stocks. Now that would have been very uncomfortable. To sit there in an awkward position with your hands bound and your feet in stocks, sitting there in a certain position for how long, we don't know. And at midnight now, listen. Now, Paul wasn't complaining. Paul wasn't sitting there finding an excuse. He wasn't crying, oh Lord God. He wasn't complaining. But what did he do? And Paul and Silas prayed. This was a time for praying. And they sang praises unto God. Did you see that? Well, when was the last time you embraced prayer and praises to God when you're going through a tough time? When was the last time you allowed God to make your bitter water sweet? And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Oh, did you see that now again? Here again, the Lord opens another door. Literally, figuratively, spiritually. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. This is what happens when you praise God. You pray. Oh, the bands of the prison house of sin. All these things that bind you and our strongholds fall away in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, but here we see the bitter waters of Marah are now made sweet. Listen, in verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open. Oh, praise God. He drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners have been fled. But look what the love of Christ will do in a man or woman's heart. It will constrain them to do the right thing, to be faithful, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Listen. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now listen, this is probably the same jailer that took that whip and whipped him, 39. Now, in this period, Roman soldiers In the Roman times, in that situation there, did not have to worry about 39 stripes. They could whip and torture as long as they felt they needed to or wanted to. It says that they were beaten severely. But look at Paul did. So you can see this got the jailer's attention. Amen? What does it say here? Then he called for a light and sprang in. Oh, the light of Christ. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. That's what the light of Christ will do in a person's life. It will cause someone to see the light, see themselves in the mirror, see their own sin-sick soul, their frailty, and all they can do is tremble and fall to the ground on their knees, cry out to God for mercy, grace, help in time of trouble. This jailer was in trouble and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, in our life, we should be that kind of Paul, where people would cry out, say, "What can I do to have what you have in your life?" If you're not living in the light, you're living in the darkness. Are we living in the light? Are we being that example to others around us? That others would want what you have in your life? And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house." Wow. And thy house. His whole family. Because Paul paid the price and said, "Do thyself no harm." Many people are so willing to commit suicide at the drop of a hat. Because things didn't go right for them at that job interview. Or they don't feel like there's any hope. They commit suicide. Well, what hope do they have then? And said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. And thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, that sword of the Spirit. And to all that were in the house. Now he went back to his jailer's house. That jailer cleaned him up. Fed him. Did what they needed to do to make things right with Paul. And spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night. And he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. They were baptized that day. That was at night. Now, all this began at midnight. This would have been 2, 3, 4 in the morning. They were doing all this stuff. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Oh, but it says here, remember in Exodus 15:20, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Goes on to say in 34 here. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." The Lord not only heals, he delivers. He'll not only heal you, he'll deliver you.
Amen.
Let those men go. All because they didn't complain, but they began to praise and pray to God. They praised His name in the midst of that storm. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates that sent to let you go now depart, therefore depart, and go in peace." You remember that Elim, that place of rest and palm trees and 12 wells of water? Oh, the Lord knows how to do things right. But what did Paul say in verse 37? "But Paul said unto them, They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prisons. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves to fetch us out." Paul had a way of putting things straight, didn't he? "And the sergeants told those words unto the magistrates, and they feared, when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city." You see, where once they wanted to lock you in and lock you down and tie you up, now they were asking them to get out of here, leave, go. Go. And they went out of the prison. Oh, praise God.
Thank
you. You know, Paul and Silas, their faith was not cheap. Timothy's and Luke's. It wasn't cheap. Cheap faith will never deliver you like this faith. Amen. Goes on to say here, "And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had come seeing the brethren, they comforted them and departed." So they came, you remember Lydia, that woman that the Lord touched. They went back to her home, comforted them. And they were with them for a while. Then they departed. They had their refreshing times after going through that bitter waters of Mara, being made sweet by the deliverance that only the Lord can do. Now, I know, I have to say that the thing I want to ask you is, are you called to be a richly laden tree of fruit that brings forth faith, faith, hope, and patience? Faith usually is born out of the soil of trouble. We know that hope never has a sweeter song than in going through the tempest of a storm. And under the weight of the cross in your life is that strength made more perfect. Paul never sang more joyously than when he was in prison. Daniel in the lion's den will never tell you that the sweetest moment of his life was when he was in that lion's den that night. That Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had never felt more closer and nearer to heaven than when they were in the chambers of the flames. And that there he was, that great deliverer, that fourth man walking in the fire with him. You see, that wood that was tossed into that water that was bitter, that was the extending branch, that vine of the Lord Jesus Christ. into your life of sin that was made bitter. That sin in your life was bitter, made sweet by the deliverance of Jesus Christ in your life. I hope you can see that. I hope you can receive that. I hope that you can apply that to your life today. Because it's never too late as long as there's still breath in you to change. Breath in me to change. There's still hope. That Mara in your life can be made sweet by the Lord Jesus and His ability to deliver your soul, to deliver you from out of every bitter situation in your life, every hardship. And the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jesus makes the soul sweet from the bitter. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing in closing. What should we sing? Right here. You may have it, you may not have it with you. It's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It's about letting go and letting God have His perfect way in your life. It's about completely yielding your life into the molding, shaping hands that God is able to do to make, mold, and shape you into that perfect vessel used unto honor. Did you know that there are vessels of dishonor everywhere?
That's right, that's true.
But the Lord wants to use your life to be a vessel unto honor, to make, mold, and shape you. Will you yield and submit your life so completely that the Lord can use you that way too?
Praise you, Lord.
Now is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Not tomorrow.
That's right.
Let's go there. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. One more time.
Be dismissed under prayer. Amen. Praise God.